Have you ever bought a guitar purely based on the fact that your favorite artist plays the exact same model? Or maybe you picked up a signature guitar thinking that as soon as you got that guitar in your hands, you'd play exactly like whoever's name is on the label. Well, don't worry, because I've done that same exact thing. I've used that buying philosophy before, and this guitar is a result of that very philosophy. Today, I want to share with you the story behind this guitar, who inspired me to buy it, and more importantly, the lesson that it taught me.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're looking for a guitar pick like this one.
How'd you hear about this?
We just noticed that all these musicians are using the same guitar pick.
Okay, before I share the story of that beautiful Mule Tricone Resonator guitar with you, I want to make sure that we're on the same page. Acoustic Tuesday is starting a brand new season in the middle of October. Now, I know what you're thinking, Tone, the middle of October? I simply cannot wait until the middle of October. I need my weekly dose of guitar geekiness. Well, don't worry, you're still going to get a weekly dose of guitar geekiness, but I'll be checking in from home. While Whitney and I are awaiting the arrival of our new baby boy, Emerson Towns, I find myself at home, exploring what guitar geek, new dad, home life is like. And I want to let you in on that journey. So as soon as Emerson gets here, I'll be sure to let you know. But in the meantime, I've got guitar geek lists that are pages and pages long that I want to share with you. So I want to do that very thing. But don't forget to mark your calendars for the middle of October. I'm thinking the second or third week in October for that brand new season of Acoustic Tuesday. I am super excited for that, and I am super excited for the arrival of Emerson. With that being said, let's go ahead and dive back into the story of that Mule Tricone Resonator guitar. I 100% blame Charlie Parr for me acquiring this Mule Tricone Resonator guitar. Now, I say that in a very loving way. Charlie is a dear friend of mine, but he is the one that inspired me to pick up this very model. And actually, this guitar taught me an extremely important lesson. A very important lesson involving a hurdle that us guitar geeks fall victim to more often than not. It's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just a way of thinking. And this guitar kind of bestowed a revelation upon me. And I want to share that with you in a moment, but I think we need to go back to the beginning on how I actually got this guitar and became interested in it. So this is a beautiful guitar. It's a Mule Tricone Resonator guitar, but it doesn't look like a tricone because it looks like it just has a single cone cover plate. But underneath the hood, there's actually a tricone resonator system, and the thing sounds absolutely glorious. The sound that got me interested in this guitar. It was the fact that Charlie played it. In fact, I thought to myself, I remember clearly thinking, watching YouTube videos, thinking to myself, as soon as I get a guitar like that, I'll be able to play like that, and I'll be able to sound like that. That's the hurdle. That's the pitfall that some of us guitar geeks fall into, and it's not a good or a bad thing, it just is. We see an artist that we look up to playing a certain model, and we think, oh, well, the common thread here is that guitar model. If I simply owned that, I'd be able to have that tone, I'd be able to have that style, and I'd be able to play the way that I wanted to, just like somebody I look up to. And there's no fault in that. I think it's great to draw inspiration from your guitar heroes. So hang on to that thought. Now let me explain how I came to acquire this guitar. This guitar came into the studio for review. And I was so excited. Matt called me up and he said, hey, I've got a tricone here, one just like Charlie's, that I'd love for you to do a demo of if you have the time. And I said, well, I'll make the time. I've been really, really hot after this guitar. So we worked out a deal. He sent it out and I went ahead and did the review. Great guitar, sounds awesome. And I immediately remember thinking this instrument was total magic. As soon as I uncased it, I was like, wow. Looking at it was magical, playing it was magical, and I thought, oh, the possibilities with this guitar. So Matt then followed up and he said, hey, let me know when you're ready to send the guitar back and we'll get it taken care of. And I said, I'm not ready to send this guitar back. In fact, I'd love to purchase it from you if it's available. I know that the wait list for a Mule Resophonic guitar can sometimes be considerably long. So I thought, well, I'll just throw the question out there. And Matt said, actually, that one is available. would you like it? And I said, yeah. So we worked out a deal. I purchased the instrument. And I remember thinking, finally, that I held the keys to the blues kingdom. I've admired Charlie's playing for, well, ever since I first heard him, way back when. And I thought to myself, finally, I have the instrument that will allow me to go down that road. I want to have that blues tone. I want to have that thumpy finger picking. I want to have that steady rhythm and those beautiful melodies popping off the high strings. I want to have that slide tone. And I thought that this guitar was going to give me all of that. But it didn't. It had nothing to do with the guitar. And this was the revelation that I had. Now, it seems pretty simple, but I think, again, I think you can fall victim to it. You know, you see one of your favorite artists playing a certain guitar model, and immediately you think, oh, the magic is that in that guitar model. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. The magic is in the player. The magic is in the player's passion. The magic is in the player's fingers, how they touch the strings, how they play, the years and years and decades that they've put into learning their craft, the incredible amount of musical history they've amassed, and the respect that they pay to all the songs that they play and the styles that they've learned. That's where the magic happens, and it has nothing to do with the instrument. Now, I say this with a caveat, and the caveat is this. I think the instrument itself still serves as an inspiration, and it should serve as an inspiration. A new guitar to you, again, whether you buy used, vintage, brand new, should serve as an inspiration to you. But try your best not to fall into the trap that just because you own a certain instrument that another artist owns, you'll play exactly like them. I want you to play exactly like you. And that's what this instrument taught me. I went through all the range of emotions and excitement when I first got this. In fact, I remember getting this guitar, coming home, queuing up a Charlie Parr record, and thinking, I'm gonna learn those riffs exactly like Charlie does. I'm gonna play those things exactly like Charlie does, and I'm gonna sound just like Charlie does. But the reality is, Charlie's a different player than I am. I'm a different player than Charlie is. And all guitar geeks are different and unique in and of their own right. Now, this isn't like a special snowflake moment. This is just the reality of the situation. And it's a beautiful realization in that when you look at another guitar player, they're bringing a unique perspective to the instrument that is usually shared with no one else. There can be common threads. Maybe you like the same genre. Maybe you like the same style. But each guitar geek brings a different perspective to the instrument. And that is so beautiful. I guess what I'm saying with this is let that inspiration drive you. Let that inspiration come over you when you get a new instrument. Let that inspiration draw you to a new guitar, but always keep in mind and keep in touch with the fact that you are bringing a very unique perspective to the guitar, one that cannot be replicated because it is quite simply your own. And I want you to celebrate that. So often we get into this mode, and I fall victim to this too, and I say this kind of very transparently, where we start comparing ourselves to other guitar players. And I want you to try your best to not do that. I want you to try your best to celebrate the fact that your experience with the guitar, your playing, your approach to the guitar is unique. It's uniquely your own, and nobody else has that thing. So yes, draw inspiration from your heroes. Yes, look at your guitar idols and say, wow, they play that so well. I strive to have that sense of timing. I strive to have that command of my thumb and finger picks. But by no means should you be comparing yourself to somebody else because they're quite simply different. Again, I know this seems very simple, but I wanted to draw the parallel between that kind of lust we experience when we see another player playing a certain guitar and the emotions and feelings and almost expectations that we attach to that. It can be pretty hefty, and it can come over you in just a matter of seconds. It's come over me in a matter of seconds on multiple occasions. But again, this was the guitar that kind of helped me break free of that. Again, I still want you to have that inspiration. And if you are pulled in a direction to buy a certain model guitar because it will open up the gates to a certain style or a certain tone, please follow that and embrace that. It's a great journey. But when you receive that guitar, don't think that just because of you own that guitar, you're gonna play exactly like your guitar hero. Celebrate your uniqueness. Take the inspiration from your guitar hero and filter that through, distill that through your own guitar geek brain, and whatever comes out of your fingers is uniquely yours. And that's just a beautiful thing. And I think it's one of those things that I wanted to remind you of, because so often we can get that sought after model of guitar, and when we receive it, we think, oh, I guess the guitar doesn't have it. Or maybe I'm not a great match for this guitar. That's not true. Hang on to that inspiration, but take it in your own direction and celebrate that, because that is your guitar journey and something that simply no one can take from you. Okay, that all being said, thanks for letting me hop on my soapbox there. I wanted to ask you a very important question, and it's this. Have you ever purchased a guitar model solely based on the fact that one of your favorite artists played that very model of guitar? If that is the case, please let me know in the comments below. And what I would love for you to put in the comment is the artist that is your guitar hero and the guitar model that you purchased because of that very artist. I can't wait to see what you put in the comments below. In fact, I'm gonna get a kick out of this. In fact, I should just list a couple of mine right now. Obviously, the Mule Tricone Resonator guitar and the artist that inspired me to purchase it was indeed Charlie Parr. We've talked about that at length. The next one is actually on the electric end of the spectrum. I ended up buying a Gibson Studio Firebird because I'm a huge Johnny Winter fan, and well, Johnny Winter played a Firebird, so right, that seems like a good parallel. And then I should say that initially my Martin HD35. I've always been a fan of Martin Dreadnoughts, and while it's not a D28, Tony Rice certainly inspired that purchase because I thought, Martin Dreadnought, if I buy a Martin Dreadnought, I'll play just like Tony Rice. But again, I was able to take that inspiration and kind of funnel that and celebrate my own unique perspective on a bluegrass guitar. So again, in the comments below, please let me know the artists that inspire you to buy a very specific model of guitar. I cannot wait to see what you come up with, and maybe I'll share them on a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday at Home.
What you seek is the pick of destiny. I think there's a light switch back here.
No, you don't.
It's been really fun while I've been home to dig into some of my guitars and the stories behind each of them. So I really hope you enjoyed the story behind that Mule Resophonic guitar, as well as the lesson that I learned. And I hope you can apply that to your own guitar journey. Now, also, since I've been home, the mailbag has certainly not stopped. In fact, it may have very well increased. So as Whitney and I have been waiting for Emerson's arrival, I've been pre-ordering albums, because I am a total music lover, music dork, music geek. I say all of those in a loving way. So the first arrival that I want to share with you, this actually came in some weeks ago, and I cannot believe I forgot to share it with you. It was, Molly Tuttle's new album, But I'd Rather Be With You. And of course, I pre-ordered this, and I got the signed version, which is just awesome. Absolutely love this album cover, by the way. Whomever did that did a great, great job. And of course, the contents of this album are just incredible. I'm a huge fan of artists digging into their own personal inspirations, and this album features a bunch of covers that inspired Molly and kind of helped shape her life, and I thought it was really cool, a nice personal touch. And I have to show you the actual color of this record. It's like iridescent purple. I don't know if you're able to see this, but it is gorgeous. So that came in, but because I pre-ordered it, I shouldn't say but, I should say and, because I pre-ordered it, I was able to get some of the extra goodies that came with it. And the first goodie that came with it was really cool. It's a set of tarot cards. Now, I've never messed with tarot cards before, but I've got them now, and they're Molly Tuttle tarot cards, featuring that album cover artwork, and they're so cool. The art on them is so cool. I should do this the right way. Maybe it's this way. Yeah, this way. They're really neat, and I have to say I'm particular to a couple different designs. The death card is really cool. I don't know if that's one you want to pull, but nonetheless, I have these. I'm appreciative of them, and it just makes for a really cool story with the album. In addition to that, I got a kind of a candid Polaroid of Molly with this kind of pre-order bundle that I got. So I'm very thankful for that. And I want to say thanks to Molly for making great music and putting together some really cool perks for fans and things like that. So that was the first mailbag arrival. The second mailbag arrival is one that it's actually kind of a gear review, I guess. It's something that I think you'll really dig, especially if you're an acoustic guitar player and you find yourself using pedals. Now, I'm not even talking crazy effects. I'm talking simply a DI, a tuner, maybe a reverb or a chorus, or maybe even a delay or something like that. Now, at home, I have all my pedals displayed in a kind of a, I don't know, I'll call it a cheesy case there. You saw it. You may have seen it on the studio tour that I did. But I display them there because I thought, well, it's the only thing I have, and well, at least they're out and I can see them. But I've always wanted a pedal board, and I've used it various pedal boards before, and they're always black and metal, and it doesn't really match the acoustic vibe. I'm an acoustic guitarist, and I like the beauty of wood, tone woods. I like seeing the grain. I like celebrating that kind of organic feel of acoustic guitar. And that's when I discovered 1915 pedal boards. Now, this is something I want to share with you because Brandon Craig, the individual who makes the pedal boards, is actually an Acoustic Tuesday viewer, longtime Acoustic Tuesday fan, and I was able to connect with him over Instagram. So I want you to check him out on Instagram. It's 1915 pedal boards, and wait until you see what he makes. Check this out. This is absolutely gorgeous. He makes these beautiful wooden pedal boards. Yes, indeed, beautiful wooden pedal boards. This is a all zebra wood pedal board, and it's the medium sized pedal board that he makes. He makes a smaller one than this for somebody that has, well, not quite as many pedals, but they're gorgeous, and he makes them in such an array of options. He uses maple, mahogany, purple heart, zebra wood like this, and he's got access to some wonderful, wonderful hardwoods that are both beautiful and make great additions to any acoustic guitar geek's kind of pedal display ability. Needless to say, I'll be going from this white shelf here, which I think came out of a bathroom somewhere, to this pedal board in short order. I just have to figure out how I'm gonna lay the pedals out. But again, 1915 pedal boards, make sure to check him out on Instagram. He actually has his pedal boards up for sale on reverb.com, so you can check them out there as well. And I should say a special note, Brandon is based in Oregon, and as you probably know by now, there's been a significant amount of wildfire activity in Oregon. A lot of folks have been displaced. Some have lost a lot. And Brandon has been taking a portion of the proceeds from his pedal boards and actually helping folks out, donating it to the search and rescue and fire departments, but also helping the families out that are in need right now. So I thought that was just a really cool kind of a pay it forward thing. And I thought, you know, Brandon makes such amazing pedal boards. I wanted to share it with you from a gear perspective, because a lot of times, you know, us acoustic guitarists, we want to display those pedals, a DI or what have you, but the metal thing just doesn't match our vibe. So it's really cool to have a nice, beautiful pedal board that you can be just as proud of as, you know, the back and side woods on your guitar. Now, that's not all that arrived from Brandon. Brandon also sent a beautiful card to both Whitney and I, just wishing us the best of luck with the arrival of Emerson. And he specifically crafted, at the request of, I believe, his middle daughter. I believe that's correct. If I don't have that right, I'm sorry, Brandon. But one of his daughters requested that we make Emerson his first pedal board. So I have baby's first pedal board right here. Also out of zebra wood, matching dad's pedal board, which I thought was just a really excellent touch. So I just want to thank Brandon for taking care of me and getting these amazing pedal boards out in the world. They're so cool. Especially for us acoustic guitar geeks, and again, for paying it forward to the firefighters and the good cause up there in Oregon, trying to help those families out that have had some really crummy luck with the wildfires and all that. So make sure to check Brandon out. Again, 1915 pedal boards. You can check out his site on Reverb. He's got a bunch of different models listed. And if you're looking for something extra special with special tone woods or special measurements, make sure to hit him up. I guess the best way to reach out would be maybe a DM through Instagram. And just say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, an all purple heart board that is this exact measurements, and he'll get to work for you. And as far as the price range, I want to say they're anywhere from, I'm not exactly sure because it will depend on the woods used, the size, etc. I want to say anywhere from about 150, 160 on up to, you know, 380, 400 for some of the really, really bigger ones. But again, it's a case by case basis. So make sure to contact him if you're interested in something custom like that. Now, I've got a little bit of time here, and I thought, you know, this would be a good time to dive into those Ask Me Anything questions again. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to switch locations to my living room, because that seems where we would have one of those conversations, in the living room. So I'm going to head up to the living room and hit a couple of these Ask Me Anything questions. Come on with me. This just in. A baby is not the only thing being born. Yes, indeed, Tom Sands and I have been working together to finalize the specs on my custom Tom Sands Model L, and he just got the back and side wood sets in, and you've got to check this out.
Hello! Welcome back to another episode of everybody's favorite internet luthery base Tonewood specific unboxing video. This is Funboxing. So today, this I should just preface this episode of Funboxing by saying this is the Tony Pollicastro special episode. This box contains wood for a very special man, Tony Pollicastro. I'm building a guitar for him next year, and hopefully inside this box is the wood that we are going to be building that guitar from. If you don't know Tony runs the Acoustic Live channel on YouTube. You may be familiar with Tony's Acoustic Tuesday. If you're into guitar in any way, shape or form, specifically acoustic guitar, look no further than Tony's channel, because it's excellent. Anyway, without further ado, in we go. Now this arrived yesterday, and I had to restrain myself. I had to make sure that I didn't open it. I wanted to let the wood acclimate to the workshop, but that was a challenge. I actually had to chase down the delivery driver who got lost. I was so anxious to get hold of this package that I had to hot-tail it across town to chase down the FedEx guy. Anyway, let's get inside here. Oh yeah. All right. So we have, oh yeah, three samples of some Gabon or Gaboon ebony from Cameroon. Diospyros classiflora, West African ebony. Oh man, this is pretty. Yeah. So ebony, let's talk about ebony real quick. Diospyros classiflora, West African ebony. You getting that down? Oh yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, but Tom, it's not black. No, it's not. It's marbled. Marbled, striated, smoky, beautiful ebony. So, traditionally, ebony is jet black. Let's see what we got down here. I mean, even this is a little striated. So this is more like your typical African ebony. Jet black. But the problem is, it's increasingly hard to get hold of, and the harvesting of jet black ebony is in no way, shape or form sustainable. Ebony trees are small, and to find jet black ebony, you have to cut down, on average, 10 trees to find one that has jet black ebony. And traditionally, what would happen is the trees would get felled. The people who were buying and selling the wood would pick out just the black stuff, and all the other stuff would just get left behind. And that's kind of an outrage, because this stuff is absolutely gorgeous. So whilst the black ebony is really highly prized, this kind of striated, smoky, marbled ebony is just as good. And in my opinion, it's even more beautiful. So this ebony is referred to as Krelakam ebony. It comes from a mill in Cameroon, which was set up by Bob Taylor of Taylor Guitars and Medinta, who are based in Spain. They are a wood supplier, Luthry Wood for Music. And they set up this mill, the Krelakam mill, to secure a sustainable supply of ebony from Cameroon for years to come. Cameroon is one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. It has flora and fauna which can't be found anywhere else in Africa. So it's really important that we look after that biodiversity and support projects like the Krelakam Mill, and also highlight the beauty of this smoky, striated, marbled ebony. So I'm going to be building a guitar for Tony next year, I think. We're looking at a Model L, and I'm hoping that one of these sets is going to do the job for him. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So let's give it a little taparoo. Very ebony-like. Whoa, loads of low end. Really sustaining for absolutely ages. There's just a little hint of sparkle there too. Just a little something going on. Awesome. Very excited. Let's do the magic spray test. That's always fun. Which one should we go for? Let's see here. I'm gonna do this one. Oh yeah. Ain't that gorgeous? That's beautiful. It's like a tortoiseshell cat. Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So, I'm thinking that one of these sets is gonna do the job for us, and is gonna be finding a home for itself out in Montana, in the United States of America. Man, that almost looks like Zerikote. Look at that. Yeah. So there we go. Man, that alcohol is that's something else. Question is, which one do we go for? Beautiful. So there we have it, some more gorgeous West African ebony, Krelakam ebony, sustainably sourced, harvested, which always leaves me feeling warm and fuzzy inside, and I'm happy to be building with this. I actually, just while we're here, just to give you a little idea, this is a Model S with some Krelakam ebony, which I've been working on. I think it's just the coolest stuff ever. So we're going to match this with a Krelakam ebony board and bridge, head cap, bindings, and matched with some beautiful white European sprues. I think it's going to look absolutely awesome. So I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Funboxing. I certainly have. I'm slightly drunk now off the fumes, and I can't wait to get started with this awesome wood. So until next time, this is Tom Sands signing out.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Let's go ahead and dig into a couple of these Ask Me Anything questions. Now, some of you might remember back when we celebrated Acoustic Tuesday's 3-year anniversary, we did an Ask Me Anything episode where you could submit a video question at asktonyp.com. Takes 60 seconds or less, and that link is still active. So if you still have a burning question for me, and it could include any topic, go ahead and head on over to asktonyp.com and ask away. So with that being said, let's go ahead and dig into some of these left over from the 3-year anniversary show. This first one comes from Dee Dee.
Hi, my question for Tony is, what do you currently have in your pockets? Also, I wanted to say congratulations on Acoustic Tuesday, 3rd year anniversary. And also I wanted to do a shout out for your new family. Congratulations, Whitney, Tony, your whole family, Aiden. So anyways, hasta la vista, Guitar Geek Shanite.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you so much, Dee Dee. The kind wishes are always welcomed, and it's so great to see you again. Dee Dee has been to, I think, every single Acoustic Life Festival. I'm nearly positive on that. So with us not having the festival this year, it's so nice to see Dee Dee's face. And to answer her direct question, what do I have in my pockets right now? Well, I'm going to set down my computer. And this is a pretty anticlimactic answer because since I've been doing the show from home, I've pretty much been living in my pajamas. So that involves basically shorts. I know it's a little fashion show. But since they're pajamas, they do have pockets on them. I guess not all pajamas have pockets, but my pockets are completely empty. So I'm sorry that that's not the most exciting answer, but let me answer this question as if I had my standard studio uniform on, which is basically jeans and a t-shirt. Likely I would have a blue chip pick or two in my left front pocket. In addition to that, a capo and some finger picks and a Zuki's thumb pick as well. That's pretty much standard fare for my pockets. I keep my wallet and everything else in my backpack. So really the essentials in my pockets at all times, just guitar stuff. Let's go ahead and move on to the next question.
If you could only pick one guitar to play for the rest of your life, which one would it be and why?
This is about the most difficult question I've been asked. First of all, kudos to, you know, hitting the bike and being able to ask a question while you're doing the workout. That's true guitar geek dedication. If I was only able to play one guitar for the rest of my life, what would it be? This is tough because part of my brain goes to, oh, what tone would I want? And what would I wanna, you know, play every time I sat down? What would I wanna hear? And the other piece goes to, you know, what guitar am I the most connected with? And I would say I'm gonna let that win out. I'm gonna let my emotional connection win out. And I would say it'd be my dad's Martin D41 Special. That's a guitar that, you know, he purchased from me at the Old Town School of Folk Music. He then kind of gifted it to me after a pretty significant moment in our family's kind of history. And of course, obviously my dad's still around and we're able to enjoy that guitar together. He hears it, I play it. I think just the fact that I'm directly tied with that guitar and that guitar is tied in so much with my family, that'd be the guitar that I would play for the rest of my life. And to kind of keep that guitar going, keep the mojo building in that guitar. Awesome question, and I think we have time for one more, so let me go ahead and queue up the next question.
What kind of animals do you have, Tony?
Love this question. First of all, I should say I'm a huge, huge dog lover. So I have two dogs, and judging, let's actually see where they are right now. I'm gonna take you on a little bit of a tour, see if we can find the dogs that I have. Let's see, first one is Coda, and Coda is a Great Pyrenees. He is 5 years old, and he is right down here, assuming his door protection position. Good boy, Codes. So that's Coda, and Argos is, she's actually gonna be 12 in October. She's the old lady of the family, and she is a kind of a healer mix, and she pretty much spends the majority of her day hanging out in the bedroom. Now there's, you'll see some baby stuff. That's where Emerson's gonna sleep when we first bring him home. Well, not with the pillows, you know, but in the pack and play kind of thing. But this here is Argos. and she's my old lady. She's my good girl. I actually got Argos quite some time ago, and she's been with me on many moves and all sorts of various adventures. So those are the dogs. Those are the animals that we have, and I think pretty sure Whitney would consider me an animal as well. So if you want to lump me in there, we can do that as well. I want to thank everybody for the questions. Again, if you want to ask me anything, please go to asktonyp.com. It takes 60 seconds or less. Just press record on your computer and it gets submitted directly to me. That being said, let's go ahead and head back to the studio where I can give you a sneak peek into next week. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, you're going to get the scoop behind this 1958 Martin Singolo 18. I keep calling it a 1956 for some reason, and I'm confusing that with a 0017 I have that I'll tell you about at a later date and time. This is a 1958 Martin Singolo 18, and you're going to get the scoop behind it next week. And I think we'll also talk about some apps that I use. I get asked all the time, Tone, what do you use when you practice? What different apps, what things do you like to have around to help facilitate your practice sessions? And I'm going to share with you, I think, two or three different apps that I have that I think you'll benefit from. And I'm finally caving in. You all asked after the studio tour, what's the deal with you and electric guitar, Tone? And I'm going to share with you the three different electric guitars that I own and why I own them. Yes, it'll be a little bit more of a show and tell episode next week, and I sure hope you can make it. Remember, you can catch, well, I guess the Acoustic Tuesday at Home show every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Don't forget to mark your calendars for that second or third week in October when we launch the new season of Acoustic Tuesday. Yes, I'll be back in the studio if all things go as planned. And I just want to thank you so much for spending time with me today and for kind of, well, sharing this moment with me and my family. I've always considered the viewers of Acoustic Tuesday as kind of part of my extended family. And it really means a lot to me that you're coming along for this ride with me and that you're kind of coming into my home every Tuesday, and we're doing this together. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you as a guitar geek. I appreciate you as a guitar player, and I wish you the best of luck on your guitar journey. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next Tuesday at 10. Remember, Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers.